What does the word vocation mean? We use it a lot, don't we? We say that there'd be an increase in vocations. We say, I'm discerning my vocation. We have a vocations prayer and a vocations director. What does the word vocation mean? The word vocation, as you know from Latin 101, comes from that Latin word vocare, which means to call. Like in the English word, vocal cords. So vocation just means a calling. And there are some glorious vocation stories in the Bible. Stories of how God called a whole host of characters to do his will. In today's gospel, for example, we saw the vocation story of the first pope, St. Peter, and how the Lord called Peter to follow him through Peter's blood brother, St. Andrew. But today, I would like to focus and reflect on the dramatic vocation story of the Old Testament prophet Samuel. And there are three things I would like to highlight about Samuel's vocation story: call, discernment, and response. First, the call. Samuel's particular vocation story begins with him sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. And so it's clear that Samuel was sleeping in church, like some of you are doing right now. But Samuel is in good company. Even St. Thérèse of Lisieux had a difficult time staying awake during prayer in her Carmelite convent in France. So I don't feel so bad during my weekly holy hour on Thursdays with the bishop at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when I begin the litany of the head bobs. And up and down goes my head, right? We know that God can even call us when we're sleeping, and sometimes speak to us in our dreams, like St. Joseph. The point is that Samuel was where the Ark of God was. God dwelt in the Ark, just as the Lord dwells today in the tabernacles of our Catholic churches. So even if we fall asleep, the point is we still need to spend time where God is, in the Lord's real presence, in the tabernacle, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I remember a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away when I was a young, skinny seminarian, when Father Lovis, and you remember Father Lovis was our pastor here at St. Francis for many years. I remember Father Lovis preaching on this first reading that we heard today, and he said very emphatically, please spend time in church because God is present here. And this is where he speaks to us. Now, this is coming from a man who spent most of his waking hours in a fishing boat. And if you know Father Lovis, you know that that's true, right? But even Father Lovis knew that you can't spend all of your time fishing. You have to spend some of your time in church. God may speak to us in the boat and on the golf course and at the beach and in the locker room and at the grocery store or in the car driving to work, but he may not. We know for absolute certainty that God always speaks to us in church, for we have just heard his word. This part of Samuel's vocation story teaches us of the importance of our daily or at least weekly time spent in quiet and contemplation in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Do you make a weekly holy hour of adoration with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Somebody comes up to me, and so many times our young people say, "Well, Father, I'm discerning my vocation." And I say, "Are you making a daily holy hour in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament?" "Well, no." How can you hear the voice of the Lord if you're not spending time with Him in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament? I'm inspired here at St. Francis because when I go over to school or I go over to the office, I always come through church and I make a little visit. And you know what? I am never alone. There is always somebody here, one of our teachers, one of our parishioners, praying here in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Okay, let's move on to the second point of Samuel's vocation story, the discernment. When God called Samuel, He calls him by name. Samuel, Samuel. All vocation stories have God calling the person by name. Abraham, Abraham. Moses, Moses. Saul, Saul. God calls us by name. It shows that God knows us. There's a particular intimacy when we're called by name. Samuel, of course, didn't know that God was calling him, so he ran to Eli, who was asleep in his usual place. Where is his usual place? The Bible tells us clearly. He was sitting on a chair near the doorpost of the Lord's temple. So he's right out by the doorpost of the temple. And Samuel says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli goes, "I didn't call you, go back to sleep." And the second time that this happened, same thing. The third time, Eli figures out it's God who's calling Samuel. So Eli sends him back and says, "If he calls again, say, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" But the important part of this story is, who is Eli? Was he the porter? The usher? The janitor? The gatekeeper? The ticket taker? The dean of students? The butcher? The baker? The candlestick maker? Who is Eli? The Bible clearly tells us that Eli was a priest. This second point of Samuel's dramatic vocation story reminds us that we need a priest to discern God's will. We need a priest spiritual director to help us discern spirits, to help us discern the difference between the inspirations of the Holy Spirit and the lies and the empty promises of the evil spirit. Of course, it's important to have parents, teachers, coaches, counselors, mentors. But the role of the priest is fundamental in helping us discern God's will. I can tell you every vocation story I've heard of a priest, monk, nun, or sister, somewhere in the story, there is a priest who is influential in helping them discern God's will. And so that brings us to the third point, which is the response. The fourth time that God calls Samuel, Samuel, Samuel replies, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It is clear from the beginning that Samuel is ready. Notice how quickly he responds, "Here I am, you called me." Not, "Oh, maybe I'm hearing things, maybe it's just in my imagination." Not, "Oh, go away, stop bothering me." He is what the Italians say is disponibile, a wonderful Italian word, difficult to translate. Disponibile, which can be translated available. Samuel is disponibile. He's available. He's ready. Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, usually when I pray, I say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." Isn't that how you pray sometimes too? "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. God, I have some very important things I'd like to tell you and explain to you about what's going on in my life. So thank you for listening and being quiet while I do all the talking." On my silent retreat, which begins tomorrow, I have to pray like Samuel. "Speak, for your servant is listening. Lord, you can talk all week, and I will be quiet and listen. Speak, for your servant is listening." And as you remember from one of my other homilies, in Latin, the word for listening is obedere, which is how we get the English word obedience. And so when Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," it is equivalent in the Hebrew to saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant is obeying." That's what we sang so beautifully. The choir sang for us in our responsorial psalm, Psalm 40. "With ears open to obedience, you gave me." Ears open to obedience. If only our children had ears open to obedience, right? If when you say, "Be home at midnight," they actually came home at midnight. When you say, "Clean your room," they actually clean the room. When you call them from the other room, wouldn't it be great if they came in and responded, "Here I am, you called me." Instead of having to call them 1,000,000,000,000 times and them saying, "I didn't hear you." If only we had ears open to obedience when I said to a young man, "Be a priest," to a young woman, "Be a sister." And they had ears open to obedience. Samuel had ears open to obedience. He was ready. He was listening. He was eager, willing to obey. What a generous response from all of us who are called by God. If we said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." If we said, "Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will."